You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is our review of Boy Erased.
Jared, I want you to do well. I want you to have a great life. I love you, but we cannot see a way that you can live under this roof if you're going to fundamentally go against the grain of our beliefs. Jared, tell me the truth. That's all.
I think about men. I don't know why. And I'm so sorry.
Your parents signed you up for a program to fix you, but Jared, you are a perfectly normal, very healthy teenage boy.
They're gonna do things for you.
Your revelation.
You wanna say goodbyes?
Welcome to the Refuge Program.
You cannot be born a homosexual. This is a lie. It's a choice.
Go! Fake it till you make it. Become the man you are not. Save yourself!
Jared, God will not love you the way that you are.
Is this what you want? Who's gonna strike this demon down? Hit him!
It's a rocky
road. I'm having a tough time.
I'm gonna give you some advice. Tell them whatever they want to hear. Play the part. Unless you really think you can change. Or even want to.
What you're going through right now is just a moment.
A moment.
Yeah.
A moment.
I love God, and I love my son. For your father, it's a little more complicated.
We are not finished.
I am, because you won't listen.
Your father is sitting here. Tell him how you hate him.
I'm not gonna pretend I hate my father. I don't hate my father.
Then where is all this anger coming?
Because you're making me angry.
Open the door now.
Mom.
They say sometimes you gotta hurt a child in order to help them, but a mother knows when something isn't right.
I don't want to pretend anymore.
I've had to ask myself and God if I'm ready to lose you.
All right, everybody, you were just listening to the trailer for Boy Erased, and the story is as follows. Jared is the son of a small-town Baptist pastor who gets outed to his parents at age 19. He's soon faced with an ultimatum. Attend a gay conversion therapy program or be permanently exiled and shunned by his family, friends, and faith. The film is starring Lucas Hedges, Nicole Kidman, Joe Edgerton, Joe Alwyn, Xavier Dolan, Troy Sivan, Cherry Jones, Flea, and Russell Crowe. It is written and directed by Joel Edgerton. Joining me for this review, I have Nicole Ackman.
Hi, everyone.
Tom O'Brien.
Hey, folks.
And from We Live Entertainment, Ashley Menzel.
Hey, everyone.
Hello, Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us on this podcast review.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We are committed this Oscar season to having guests come on to review some of the films that are being talked about this award season. And Boy Erased is Joel Edgerton. Only his second film, his previous film was The Gift, released a few years ago, which was a psychological thriller. This is definitely taking a much more different tone this time around. And he is exploring a topic that is very, very, very dear to him, something that he feels very passionately about, that he's talked a lot about in Q&As. And they are all, the entire cast, crew, everyone is trying to bring about a very positive message with this movie, Boy Erased. So I don't want that to reveal necessarily from a you should go see it standpoint, like what our thoughts are on it. But I'm going to say right off the top of the show that I do think that what the topic is all about, and the fact that we don't get so many movies talking about this topic of gay conversion therapy, even though Miseducation of Cameron Post came out earlier this year, also fantastic and should be checked out. Regardless of any thoughts that are said on this podcast, I personally would wholly endorse that people see this movie for at the very least to open up their eyes to what is happening around the country with some of these conversion therapy, quote unquote, schools or institutions or whatever they're referred to as. It's a very, very important topic. Enough rambling from me, though. Let's hear it from everybody else here. Ashley, you are the guest for this review. What did you ultimately think of Boy Erased?
So I was lucky enough. I may have seen actually the premiere of it at Telluride. I'm not sure. You know how film festivals become a blur, but it was one of the first films I saw there. And it was just something that totally blew me away, not only just from a performance perspective from Lucas Hedges, but also from the perspective of, you know, just the topic, as you said, something that I couldn't believe is still happening and that is still legal in 41 states out of 50 states in the U.S.
Right.
And it's just something that stuck with me from, you know, the end of August until now. It's still as vivid in my mind as it was when I saw it. And I think that's attributed to the great performances and the great direction and the really great, you know, the really on point storytelling from, you know, Garrod Conley, who was the memoir on which the film is based.
And, you know, and like I said before, to your point, this is a still occurring issue that is something that, regardless of what anybody thinks in a movie, nobody can deny that this is a topic that's obviously not discussed enough. You know, like you said before, it's still pretty widespread throughout the country, and it's almost baffling, although I guess maybe in 2018, maybe we shouldn't be so baffled by the strict natures of our country anymore. But regardless of which, it is baffling that this is still something that is in practice. And this film is attempting to bring that to light for so many people. So at the very least, they deserve to be commended for bringing about this issue to a widespread audience. So, Tom, I'm really, really curious to hear your thoughts on this one. What did you ultimately think of Boy Erased?
Well, Boy Erased for me got the benefit of low expectations, only in the sense that I thought the trailer was so didactic that I felt like I had seen the movie already, with Russell Crowe preaching and thumping the Bible from the pulpit, and, you know, Nicole Kidman sitting there dressed up like Pat Nixon without the alcohol. And it just seemed very cliche, and that I would have expected it to go a certain way. And what surprised me when I saw the film was how nuanced the characterizations are. It's certainly, when you have Oscar winners like Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe in those roles, they can bring a lot of talent power to it. But I think it's also in the writing by Joel Egerton, there's nothing black and white about it. The pain that Lucas Hedges feels, he had obviously had feelings for men, but the manner in which he is outed certainly would have thrown off how he would have wanted to tell his parents that he was gay. And the way that Egerton handled that, both in his direction and his screenplay, surprised me at how delicate and, again, the new word nuanced, it really was.
All right. Nicole, it's your review up on the website. Yep. What did you think of Boy Erased?
So I read the actual memoir back for a Next Best Adaptation episode. And at that point, I said that, you know, I was optimistic about the film, but nervous, because it's one of the best books I've read in years. And I find that adapting memoirs can be so tricky because and this one in particular is so internal. So I actually saw it at the North Carolina Film Festival, and I was blown away. It's not a perfect film. The score in particular really irks me.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually saw it again yesterday. I took two of my best friends because I said, you know, you're not going to enjoy this per se, but this is a film that needs seen.
Right.
And, you know, especially all three, both my friends and I, being from the South, I think there's so much that rings true in this film. And I think, obviously, it has brilliant performances, but there's so much nuance in everything. Like, one thing that really blew me away yesterday seeing it was Nicole Kidman's costuming in it. I was like, oh my God, these are the moms I've seen picking up kids at my schools all my life. Like, it's just so perfect. And I do think that it is definitely going to be one of my top five films of the year.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. All right. The one thing that right from the very get-go with this movie that I went in with mild expectations, because I felt like, Ashley, maybe, I don't know, maybe you had a different perception, but it seemed like out of Telluride, it wasn't widely acclaimed. It got like respectable notices, right?
Right. And it's interesting because, you know, if you go to a film festival versus, you know, somebody who's seeing it fresh after seeing the trailer and seeing it in the theater. When we go to Telluride, especially, you don't know which films are going to play there. And then you don't know a whole lot about the films besides who's in it, who created it usually. So it was a very quiet hit, I think, for some people at Telluride. And then it started to slowly, climb up there to be one of those films that people feel, you know, whether they like it or not, they do feel that it's very important that people see it.
Absolutely. So heading into this, I had, tempered expectations. I went in with a clean slate. But the one thing that I could not escape while watching this movie, from the time that it began to the time that it ended, it's a similar issue that, we make these comparisons to The Illusionist and The Prestige, Deep Impact, Armageddon. Which one did you see first in 2018? And for this year, it's Miseducation of Cameron Post and Boy Erased. And I loved The Miseducation of Cameron Post. I saw that back at Sundance. Really, really enjoyed it. And it almost felt like, for me, Boy Erased was just going over the same ground. And it didn't feel like it was doing anything radically different than what Miseducation of Cameron Post was doing. And as a result of which, I was kind of put into this weird position where, because it didn't do enough to set itself apart, other than the fact that it's based on a true story about a young man's life, I just couldn't find a way to make this viewing experience distinct enough to say that this was better necessarily. That doesn't mean that it's bad. It was just an unfortunate circumstance for me. Did anybody else see Miseducation of Cameron Post prior to seeing Boy Erased?
I did.
Yeah. Did you ever feel that way while watching it at all?
I went in thinking that this is not quite up to Cameron Post, because I share your like of that film very much. But as it went on, I began seeing that its topics were the setting was the same, and the motivations of the lead characters, they're both looking for family, but they take different routes there. In Cameron Post, she has pretty much given up on her biological family and is seeking to build her own family within the other gay teens who are her colleagues there. And with Boy Erased, Jared is trying to reconnect with his biological family. And that they both have the same quest, but they're taking different routes. So I wasn't as disappointed once I realized that was what was going on.
Well, and that's great insight there, actually, for helping me to piece together my own thoughts here on this review as well, because I think that ties into the opening moments of the movie very well, where we open up with homemade video footage from Jared's life. And this idea of family and tracing this boy's journey from the time that he is a young child, even though we don't really get any dramatic scenes played out like that, we just get this home video footage in the beginning. It definitely put me in the mindset of this is somebody's life. This is literally someone's existence. This is important to not only him, but the people involved in his life, the family, like you said, Nicole Kidman and Russell Crowe in this movie, both spectacular, by the way. And Nicole Kidman's always spectacular. There's no getting around that. But man, oh man, is it refreshing to see Russell Crowe do well in a dramatic role again. I liked him in The Nice Guys recently, and that was a more comedic performance, tough guy, you know? But here, man, I just was like, oh, Russell, I haven't seen you like this since the early 2000s. Where have you been, man? Oh, I was just like, oh, so refreshing to see that. And yes, I think everyone in this ensemble, especially also Lucas Hedges, like we said before, Joel Edgerton, everybody in this ensemble really, really shines. But what's really confusing to me, and maybe we're a little mixed on this overall, I actually did find Joel Edgerton's direction of this movie to be very, very heavy-handed. And at times, it actually took me out of the movie with how dark and serious this movie was. And it almost like, and you know, who mentioned the score? Was that you, Nicole?
Yeah, that
mentioned
was
the
me.
Score. Like the score to me was just so overdramatic to the point where I just felt like this movie was almost like a gloom and doom type movie, and it didn't have the nuance or the more enlightening little details, that slice of life, so to speak, that I felt like I got in Camera Post. Instead, I felt like I was getting a highly overdramatized, look how terrible this situation is, look at how terrible it must be to be gay sort of movie. And I was like, I'm not really sure I'm liking the tone of this overall, even though the intent and the message in the end is positive.
I feel quite differently on that. I guess just, and I do agree that I think that sometimes the direction gets in the way of the performances, if that makes sense, and the story itself. And like I said, that score is just, I think that's part of what lends it to almost feeling like a melodrama at times.
Yeah, I think it was the choir. Yeah, as soon as like I heard choir in the score, and I'm like, choir, church, religion, come on, man. You can do better than that.
It confuses me that it has my favorite song I've heard in a movie thus far this year, but my least favorite score.
Oh, yeah.
But I think, I guess for me, I was surprised on my second viewing of it how much humor there actually is in it, because I think, I guess I appreciate the dark tone in some ways, because I would rather it veer towards overdramatic than veer towards the trivialization, there we go, of the issue, if that makes sense.
Well, I don't want it to be trivialized necessarily. I just want there to be a more authentic balance, I felt like, at times. I had a similar problem with Beautiful Boy, where I felt like that movie was just going way too hard with its message and how much it was trying to sell this as, look at me, I am a serious drama. I've got scenes with yelling and crying, and look how terrible this is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think having seen Beautiful Boy and then seeing Boy Erased for the second time after made me appreciate Boy Erased so much more.
Yeah.
Because especially like you mentioned that opening sequence with like the home video, I was like, this is what Beautiful Boy needed. You needed to make me care about him before you plunged into his issues.
Well, Beautiful Boy's editing is a whole other issue.
I think there's so many things that if you compare the two, like I think both of them are told very much in a weird chronological order, and I think it works, or at least it worked for me in Boy Erased, whereas it didn't.
Yeah, no, it definitely worked more here, I felt like, as well.
Yeah.
What about you, Tom? Ashley, what do you both think in terms of just the overall tone of the movie?
I actually tend to agree. I think that the film does a great job of balancing out the dark with the light. I think the humor in it, you know, takes the chance to give some levity to a story that is really heavy. And I think that balance works well in Boy Erased. And I tend to agree with you that I really did not like the way that it was done in Beautiful Boy. And it's interesting because I don't know if any of you have seen Ben Is Back yet, but it's kind
not
of
yet.
Like how, okay. So like how you guys are comparing, I've never seen the Cameron Post movie yet. That's on my list of things I have to catch up on. But the way that you're comparing Boy Erased and Miseducation of Cameron Post is similarly how I think you're going to compare Beautiful Boy and Ben Is Back, because they both handle a similar topic, and the way that they do it is very different. But anyway, yeah, so Lucas Hedges is amazing in that film as well. But I tend to think that this one, they play around with the tone of the film enough that it makes it feel not like what you were saying, you don't want it trivialized, but you don't want it something that it's so depressing, that it's so hard to get through, and that it's so painful for audiences. So I think that it strikes a good balance.
Well, the scene for me that I think did it, and I think it's the scene that I take issue with the most, and it happens early on in the film, is the scene with Joe Alwyn.
Mm-hmm.
I asked myself after the screening, and after, you know, I'd seen the movie in whole, I just thought to myself, that scene just stood out to me as the scene where I asked myself, did Joel Edgerton go maybe a little too far compared to the rest of the movie? And could there have been a more tasteful way that could have been done, but also convey the same effect? You know what I mean?
This is something that I thought about a lot, because I'm very much someone who believes that you shouldn't put that into a film unless it really is necessary, and then, you know, unless it's actually serving a purpose, if that makes sense. But having read the actual memoir, what we're referring to, for anyone who hasn't seen it, plays such a big role in the main character's relationship with his sexuality, and I think comes back later into why he struggles to, you know, he feels that he's being asked to apologize for things that he didn't do, or he didn't have a choice in. And I think that, to me, made it make sense. And I feel like if it wasn't shocking and, you know, kind of horrifying, it would be harder to understand exactly how bad of a mental place he's in whenever he's sent to this conversion camp.
For me, the scene in question, and I hate for to be so vague about it, but I think it will color your thoughts about the movie if you know that a scene like this is coming up, made me feel, I just wanted to say, stop it, get me out of here. And I don't know, I didn't know whether it was Egerton or whether it was me, but it, I just felt so uncomfortable during that scene. And for me, at least part of that was lightened up a little bit by the scene when the parents receive the call that outs Jared. And he admits to them, certainly not on his own timetable, that he does indeed have feelings for men. And I'm sure it was not on his the way he wanted to come out to his parents. I know when I came out to my parents, it was something I had planned in my head. And, you know, it's very important to have control of that moment. And he didn't have control on that moment. And he so wanted to keep his parents' love that he agrees to go into this gay therapy program. But if the incident we're talking about is so traumatizing, I think we needed to, I think a subtle cutaway would not have done it. So I'm kind of glad it's there. I think he may have gone a little too far, but I think better too far than too light.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. I do want to touch upon the relationship with the parents and how there is such love there coming from Jared in this movie for both his mother and his father,
yeah,
who has the more complex relationship with him throughout this whole journey that he's on. And what I found very refreshing about this movie in particular is how the gay conversion therapy that Joel Egerton is trying to employ on Jared is he's trying to get Jared to resent his father and be angry with him for how he feels his father has treated him. And I really, really loved the message of this movie that it took with Jared saying, that's not how I feel. I will not stand here and say that I hate my parents for how they have reacted to this. I love my parents. And that, to me, was so strong, where there's a lot of people in this world that would probably say, well, you know what, like, if you want to lose me as a son and, you know, you're not going to accept me for who I am, see ya. But that's not who Jared is, and that's not how the film portrays it. And I found that to reinforce the message of, you know, and it's a little bit of a cliche message, right? Love conquers all, that sort of thing. But this, to me, was a refreshing take on that that I feel like I haven't seen play out in cinema that much. And that really resonated extremely strong for me, especially during Lucas Hedges' scenes with Joel Egerton, where the two are just two actors just sparring words at each other. I mean, it was gripping.
It absolutely was. They Egerton is really good in this too. I mean, we've been talking a lot about his writing and direction, but he makes a very, very good antagonist. And I couldn't quite penetrate why he was acting the way he was acting until a coda at the end of the film kind of explains it. which we will not talk about his character.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they say the best kinds of villains are the ones who don't believe that they're wrong. They fully believe that what they're doing is good. And I think that's what makes him very great in this, is here's a guy who I don't even know if I would go so far as to say he's evil, but like what he's doing is wrong, but he doesn't believe that he's wrong. And that's what makes the writing and the performance, you know, very captivating, because he himself as a contradiction is a fascinating character.
I would agree. And I think that one of the important things about the film, at least to me, is that, you know, he is the villain, the man who's running this therapy, really. And they don't villainize Jared's parents. Like,
no.
Even his father, who's a Baptist preacher and is really the one who's pushing Jared to kind of reject this part of himself. I think it's really important that they show that he legitimately thinks he's doing what's best for his son. And he does love his son, and that, you know, it's that he is actually struggling with that. And I think that it's important to show that it's, you know, you can't just assume that those people are inherently evil, but you see that he actually is having a hard time. And I think Russell Crowe did that so brilliantly. He really shows the conflict there.
Oh, yeah. You know, it goes back to that that scene, you know, if we're talking about two contrasting viewpoints and the moral dilemma, the wrestling of these feelings internally within these characters, it kind of goes back to the scene between Jared and the doctor, mm-hmm. where his parents tell him to go see a doctor. And it's this argument between faith and medicine. And this doctor is telling Jared straight up, there's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Your parents, you know, may think there's something wrong. I'm here to tell you that there isn't, you know, and I just find that very, I found that scene to also be very interesting in that there is such an easy answer to all of this. And because of these deep rooted beliefs, it takes time to change those. It takes time to even have a semblance of acceptance. Mm-hmm. And while Nicole Kidman's character in this film might be able to overcome that a little bit easier, to your point, Nicole, Russell Crowe definitely struggles with it more, but it's not antagonistic, like you were saying. And I love that there is an effort made on his character's part to want to try and see that change through. I can't even, the film did such a good job of conveying that moral dilemma that even I, after a while, started to like understand the dilemma, where from, like, maybe for me, because, you know, I'm extremely accepting personally, like it doesn't seem like a hard choice for me, but the film did such a good job of conveying why it was hard for this character.
What was interesting to me about Crowe's character at that moment is that I could see him being torn. His parental instincts is to protect Jared, but he also has the responsibility of being the moral pillar of the community as he preaches to the pulpit. And he consults with the elders of the community rather than his own parental instincts. And
even his wife.
Or even his wife.
Yeah.
I mean, he winds up being more concerned in the beginning with how he is going to be perceived with this news than actually protecting Jared. Or I think he feels like he's doing the right thing, but the fact that he needed some backup from older, more conservative religious leaders was telling about his character at that point in the film.
Yeah. But that's like, to go back to what I was saying though, like that's what makes it so fascinating. That's what makes the performances so good, is that these are characters who believe in what they're doing. There's conviction to these performances and to the quality of the writing. Yeah, I think it just all goes back to my only flaw with this movie is sometimes how Egerton directs it, but the performances and the writing in this is very, very stellar. I mean, it's one of my favorite ensembles of the year, without a doubt. And we haven't even talked about any of the other boys in the camp.
Yes. I have to give props to Egerton for casting three openly gay actors in the supporting cast, which lended a little bit more gravitas. And don't worry, I've checked Wikipedia. Everybody is openly gay. clearly, as the Dr. Cherry Jones, when she says there's nothing wrong with you, you believe it because she's Cherry Jones.
Yeah.
And among the colleagues at the his colleagues as fellow patients, there's a Troy Sivan, who is a yep. YouTube sensation.
Did the music, of a song rather, for the movie.
The good music in the And the Canadian director Xavier Dolan is very good in this as a fellow I don't want to say patient, but it's funny because I've always thought of him as strictly being a director, and this is the second movie this month that he has a good juicy part in. The first one being Bad Times at the El Royale, and he's terrific in this. And the fact that Egerton took the time to seek out openly gay actors really speaks to his sincerity about putting together a film with the most integrity to it.
I want to ask about, before we get on to final thoughts and any other details, just because I feel like we didn't talk about this enough. There have been some comparisons made about Nicole Kidman's performance in this to her performance, her Oscar-nominated performance in Lion, and the fact that these two roles are very, very recent with one another, and they're kind of similar, supportive mother type, tearful monologue, et cetera, et cetera. I was just curious to know what everyone's thoughts were on that. And I hate to go back to comparisons once again, but that was just another thing while watching this that I found myself like, I can't watch this and not think of that. But before I hear everyone else's thoughts on the matter, I actually preferred Kidman's performance in this more because of the accent and because I felt like she did get more to do. So I just want to know if anyone had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you on that. I think that her performance in Lion is fantastic, but I think her performance in Boy Erased is more, I think, authentic. I think the moments between her and Jared, Lucas Hedges, in this film are some of the strongest in the entire film. And I think they have the most sincerity in them that you really feel the love and the emotion between them on, different levels, not just mother and son. And then, you're looking at it as, she's looking at someone she loves struggling, just being that caregiver. I think it's actually superior than her performance in Lion.
I agree. I think that, her she's pretty much at the same place as she started when she gets to the end of Lion, but here she has an enormous character arc, and she really had to hold it back in the first half of the film in Boy Erased so that she can deliver those powerhouse scenes in the second half, and that's what makes it really effective. So I would vote for her performance here as well.
All right. Embarrassingly, I actually haven't seen Lion.
Oh.
But I will say that Nicole Kidman's performance, I think, is the reason that I love this film so much. I mean, in part, there's multiple reasons. But A, because it does, as you were saying, feel so authentic. Like, she legitimately seems like the Southern moms that I grew up with, who were good moms, who just has been placed in this, moral dilemma where she's kind of stuck in between her husband and her son. And I do think that she has one of the most interesting arcs of the movie. And I love that when she kind of finally comes to that big tearful scene, she's not just making a statement about her son, but she also is kind of standing up for herself. And I will say, I saw it for the first time in North Carolina with three moms about that age next to me. And they all clapped after that scene. And they were all crying. And I was like, I think this is an important film for parents to see who might end up stuck in her situation, where they're stuck kind of in between their religion or their family and, another member of their family. And I just feel like it's such a beautiful performance in that way.
Now, a lot of early criticism of the movie was thrown at the fact that Egerton is you know, straight. Mm-hmm. Lucas Hedges cast in the lead role of this film, straight. And I'm just actually most curious of all, because, I mean, I like I've said at the top of the show, I think the message is clear, and I think that the intent is well-meaning, and I think that they succeed in getting that message across to everyone. Are we all in agreement that we feel that despite that they don't have that same perspective, that they set out, that they achieve what they set out to do with this film?
I will say there was an interview with Lucas Hedges. I'm trying to remember what it was with, maybe with Vulture, I want to say, in which he said that he does not identify as straight.
Oh,
yeah. I read that article too.
He essentially, I think, basically came out as, you know, not straight, but he said he doesn't really have a label for what he is. And he said that he had never really wanted to talk about it before, but he felt that with this film coming out, it was relevant and that he, you know, felt that it was important that people know that it was coming from, I guess, I don't want to say like an authentic place for him, but yeah. But I mean, it still is leveled against Joel Edgerton. And I feel that particularly because it is based and it actually stays fairly close to Gerard Conley's memoir, that they did a really good job with it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I've had it with this trope that only gay directors can make a gay film. Enough already.
And this is the gay guy on the podcast who's saying this.
Exactly. I just want a good director making a good gay film. So that, and I think he does. I think it's better written than it is directed. But I think the heart is totally in the right place, and he pretty much brings off everything he wants to get done with this film.
Okay. Ashley?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with that. I think that his, you know, Edgerton's dedication to making sure that, you know, there were openly gay actors in the film, and, you know, he even does an interview where he says he had allies behind the lens to, you know, working on the set. And I think that dedication and openness to representing the story in the best way possible allowed him to succeed as well as he did with making the film.
Okay. At this point, I want to get to any final thoughts that anybody has on the film, and then we can talk about its Oscar potential and grade out of 10. Nicole, why don't we start off with you first? Do you have any final thoughts on the film? What Oscar nominations you think it might receive, and what would be your grade out of 10?
Yeah, I guess, first of all, I just, again, want to say, I think the overall cast is just stunning. I think it's a really nice performance from Joe Alwyn. Really impressed with Troye Sivan, who's never really done any serious acting. I think he had a couple of kid roles earlier on, but really impressive. And speaking of him, I feel like one of the big Oscar potentials for it is Best Song with Revelation, which is a lovely song, but also B, used beautifully within the film.
Oh, yeah. I loved the final moments of this film where the song played. Oh. I loved it.
And
absolutely,
it's one of the best, like, double uses of a song in a film that I can think of off the top of my head. So that's my, like, big Oscar hope this year. But also, I could definitely see Nicole Kidman getting in for Best Supporting Actress. And I, you know, I wouldn't even be surprised. I would love to see Russell Crowe get nominated as well. But, and then grade out of 10, I think in my review, I gave it a 7 out of 10. I might even honestly bump that up to an 8 out of 10 now, having seen it twice and having seen some other movies like Beautiful Boy that have made me kind of reconsider my initial thoughts on this film, like in a positive way. So yeah, 7 to 8.
Well, which is it, 7 or 8?
We'll go with 8, even though that goes against my review, but that's fine.
No, that's totally fine. I mean, there have been times where I've written something, gotten to the podcast a few days later, and I've been like, yo, actually, wait a minute. Nah, this is, yeah, you know, sometimes it takes either multiple viewings or time for a film to work its way over you. I mean, dear God, I'm still thinking about Suspiria. In any event, let's move it over now to Ashley. Ashley, final thoughts on Boy Erased.
I think that the writing in the film really stands out in a lot of ways that I think it doesn't feel over embellished or brushed over with, like, this, you know, the Hollywood sugarcoating. I think that it stays pretty unfiltered in a lot of ways with the performances as well. On that note, I think that we probably could see Nicole Kidman as a supporting actress nomination. And I really, I think we might see Lucas Hedges as a lead actor either for this or Ben is Back. So I think he's going to be on there one way or another. My initial review was a 9.5. And, you know, after you, you know, when you see something in a film festival and it completely wows you and then you get a chance to think about it, I think I'm going to knock it down to a 9 for the final grade.
Okay. All right. And Tom.
Before we leave, I just would like to talk about something that really appealed to me about the. I'm a process nut. I do like movies in which you could see how things work that you didn't know before. And I never knew what really went on in these conversion camps. And it was just so interesting to see the exercises that they make me do that seem to be very directed towards shame. And or hatred, and yeah. Because of the genuineness of the memoir, he knows, Garrett knows what goes on there, and it would just added an extra layer for me. It's like, oh, that's how it works. Okay.
And you know what I found most interesting about that part of it, Tom? I'm glad you brought that up because we didn't get a chance to really talk about this. Actually, Jared actually gives it a shot in the beginning.
Yep.
And it's interesting how when he first starts, he thinks he wants to change, and this idea of, you know, fake it till you make it, and he has to come to grips with whether or not if he really, really does want to change, or is he going to just fake it, you know, until he gets out of there. And, you know, we're not going to reveal what happens, but I did find it very fascinating that here was somebody who was athletic, was masculine, had like everything in his life that pointed towards him being straight, but he's not. And he himself is maybe even a little slightly confused over, well, how am I supposed to be? Even he has to have I don't want to make a pun and say come to Jesus moment, but you know, he has to come to that decision himself and embrace who he really is. And I love that the film took some time to explore that instead of having him from the very onset know exactly, oh, no, this is who I am. And that I feel like would have made for a less interesting midsection of this movie.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of Oscar possibilities, I think probably the best shot is Kidman. But her inclusion in this, I think, has a lot to do with some unknowns. We haven't seen Amy Adams yet.
Yeah.
And no one who has seen Mary Queen of Scots is allowed to talk about it yet.
Yeah.
So Mark Robbie may not be, you know, so those are two big players that I think many people have in their top five. And then the other question is, will both Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz get in for the favorite, or will one drop out, or one is favored over the other?
And then also too, can Claire Foy survive the first man box office?
Right. So this is one of the most up in the air categories, but there may be room for Kidman to come in. I think she's on the bubble right now, but very well placed. And this performance is so good that I think she has the best shot. Adapted screenplay is quite competitive as well. And you have a number of picture candidates prominent there, as well as a few solo candidates in terms of movies that might not be contenders otherwise, like The Hate U Give could show up there. So it may be a bit of a struggle for adapted screenplay, but it's certainly worth a nomination. I'm not sure Crow is going to get in, but I'm thrilled to see his performance in this. And I got the impression that he is now kind of settled into the fact that he's a character actor.
Yeah.
He was a character actor always, but in a leading man's body. And now he has a character actor's body, and he's really good in this. And, you know, I think Best Picture is a bit of a long shot. Hedges could get in. Again, another round the bubble. The tough thing for Hedges is he has the competing film, and also he is, I don't want to say stuck on Broadway, because if you're doing opposite Elaine May, you're not stuck anywhere, but he's not going to be able to get out to work the room in Hollywood as much as he might have been had he not made that commitment. So I question whether he can get in there, but I certainly see a lot of possibilities here for Oscar recognition.
And you know what, too? The film could end up surprising us and being something like, I don't remember who first made this comparison, but somebody compared it to Lion, mm-hmm. where it was like an on the bubble nominee for a lot of categories. And then all of a sudden, boom, picture, supporting actor, supporting actress, adapted screenplay. And you're like, wait, what? You know, so
that's a great comparison. That's really that. Boy, I think we've got their Oscar chances right there, at least their Oscar hopes.
So right.
I think I was so irritated by the score. It probably affected my my vote. I would give it probably a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you there, Tom. 7 out of 10 for me, although I will say I think it's a strong 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, I have some questionable moments with Egerton's directing in this, but that does not extend to the performances. I think the performances by everyone involved, including Joel Egerton, is stellar. Like I said, it's one of my favorite ensembles this year for sure. And I think the message is extremely important. I think that despite any flaws that I may have with the film at all, I recommend everyone see this movie,
mm-hmm.
period. And also, too, like, who brought up earlier in the show, Nicole, it was you, about how this is the kind of film that could change people's minds,
yeah.
on a topic, you know, because it does such a great job of presenting both sides of the argument, but doing a really, really excellent job of also explaining the faults with one side of the argument and how the other side is clearly, you know, the way it should be.
I kind of feel like, you know, if Nicole Kidman's character had seen this movie, then the what we saw may have gone differently.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, the question is if Russell Crowe's character has seen this movie.
Wow. Well,
things have, yeah. See, now, and that, but that's the great thing about it, right? You have to ask yourself how many people will give this film a chance,
yeah.
and watch it, maybe because of the stars involved.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And walk away from it saying, you know what, that movie gave me something to think about. I mean, geez, you know, what higher achievement could you want than that, you know, Joel Egerton?
Right.
So I'm sure he'll be happy more with that response than any Oscar potential the film has, but I'm going to give it to it anyway. Picture, like I said, I'm not predicting it right now, but it's there. It's like at the bottom for me. Actually, tell you the truth, I don't even think I have it in my 10 right now. I think I have it out of the 10 at the moment. But if I do have it, it's near the bottom. Adapted screenplay, same thing. I don't have it in the 5, but it's hovering around there, 6-7 spot. Right now, the only two nominations I have it getting are Kidman and The Song. I do think the song is used very, very well at the end of the film. I think that the tone of the song fits extremely well with the ending of the film and what the film is trying to get us to have in terms of a lasting impact. And as a result, I think the song is going to stick out for people. And it's being used heavily within the marketing. Its creator is a star within the film, and he's promoting the movie and performing it along the campaign trail. So, I mean, there's a lot of great factors there in order to get Troy Sivan. I hope I'm saying his name right. Sivan. Mm-hmm. Troy Sivan. I think that's how you say it.
It is.
A nomination. So I'll go so far as to say those two for now. And I love Crow in this so much. I do. I really do. But, man, I don't see him cracking it. I see this more as people opening their eyes back open to be like, oh, Russell Crowe, you can still deliver great performances. Fantastic. Do another one, and then we'll invite you back to the, you know, the theater.
He could be the new J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that'd be really interesting. Alrighty. So with that said, Ashley, thank you so much for joining us for this review. Really, really had a great time having you on.
Thanks. I had a great time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell all of our dear listeners where they can find you on the internet?
Sure. You can find my written reviews at weliveentertainment.com, and I'm on Twitter at Ashley G. Menzel.
Excellent. Nicole?
I am on Twitter at NicoleAckman16.
And Tom?
And I'm on Twitter at Thomas E. O'Brien.
And you can find me at Next Best Picture. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to our review of Boy Erased here on the Next Best Picture podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Acast, CastBox, and now newly on Spotify. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think of the show. We really, really appreciate any comments you could leave. And, you know, rating us 5 stars would also be very nice. And if you're feeling generous enough after that, head on over to our Patreon page, where for $1 minimum a month, you can get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening once again. We shall see you all next time.